Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals. Are you having a difficult time navigating these waters, especially after the coronavirus and all the clubs have been closed? You don't know what to do? Well, let me tell you about a great resource for you. That's the Austin Music Foundation. Austin Music Foundation provides ongoing artist development services through its educational panels, one-on-one consultations, and online resources. Now listen, gang, all of that stuff is available to you, the artist or music industry professional, for free. And since coronavirus hit back in March and everything is closed down, Austin Music Foundation had the forethought to move all of their programs online. That's right, you can watch panels online, you can do your consultations online. Austin Music Foundation is there for you, and it's all free to you, the artist. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org. Get involved.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right. Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a good weekend. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving, whatever that was like for you. I flew solo on Thanksgiving. I talked to you guys about it on Friday's show. I actually had a surprise, though, because I did the intro of Friday's show on Thanksgiving in the afternoon. And later on that afternoon, I got a text from my friend Katrina, who is a professional chef. She texted me. She said, hey, I made too much Thanksgiving food. You want a plate? I said, yeah. And man, I had probably the best Thanksgiving I ever had. Everything was made from scratch. Even the rolls, everything was absolutely delicious. So I lucked out and had a fantastic Thanksgiving dinner alone with this dog named Trace, who I was dog sitting, and we had a great, great time. Anyway, rest of the weekend was very laid back. I'm just getting ready to go to the beach on Thursday, heading out for a few weeks, chill with the fam. You'll hear from me there. I'm very excited about it. I am. I'm very excited to get out of the apartment. I've been here since the beginning of quarantine, and it's starting to drive me nuts. I'm looking forward to hanging out with my aunts and my cousins and my grandma and stuff. I have a great show for you guys today, gang. Jeff Azar from Demi the Daredevil is back on the show today. They have a brand new single out called Paranoia on Main Street. It's a song that he co-wrote with a great songwriter named Ben Bazria. Great songwriter. He used to write with Katie Rain. He wrote a lot of that early stuff from them. Jeff and I have a fantastic conversation once again. He's a great artist, a great songwriter, a great producer. He has great ideas, man. He's an eccentric fellow and very, very fun to talk to. I think you'll enjoy our conversation. His EPs, the Demi the Daredevil EPs, Secret Schizoid from 2017, and Magic and Accidents from 2019 are absolutely fantastic. Great song out there called Not Having a Blast that I also love. You can find Demi the Daredevil at demithedaredevil.com. So my pal Jeff Azar and I have a fantastic conversation. I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you have a great rest of the week. And yeah, enjoy my conversation with Jeff Azar from Demi the Daredevil. Let's get down.
Still that loner, scared kid peeking Glen says, dazed on a shady street, and now they're coming near me, and I'm paranoid I'll get murdered and die forever. And my heart pounds, you're just bored and hostile too. If we're eccentric, you're the radar.
Did you just mean, when you said Back from Outer Space, did you mean like in I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor?
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
You're cool, man. And so you're back from outer space.
From outer space.
What does that even mean?
Okay.
Genius. You think they had the other line first?
Is that even, that is, because I, like, okay, go on, because I'm thinking, go on now, go out the door. Oh, now I'm back from outer space. Yeah, so that's the second part of the course.
Yeah. Did you walk us up here, inspect, to see that look upon my face? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you know people sat down and wrote that song. So people sat down and wrote Paranoia on Main Street. Great song.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening, and I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, man, I really like it. So it's out, and it's available for the people to get into on their own.
Yep.
And are you going to make a video for this? Did you?
Yeah, there was a video, and it was shot on the drag, on the Guadalupe drag, right next to campus.
How did I miss that?
It came out on the afternoon of.
Okay,
the release day.
In my little release, nobody sent me a thing. I just got the song. Sorry.
Okay. No.
Okay.
Sweat. Yeah, I'm glad you dig it.
Yeah, man. I love the line in the chorus. I am alone, always have been. All I have is hope.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
So you wrote this song with Ben Basria.
Yeah, yeah. He emailed me in January, a long time ago, and he said, "You want to co-write a song?" And I went over it. We got together one time, and he had a verse idea, and then he had that chorus idea, and then we never met again. And I redid the verse and posted about it on the Instagram story, and was getting good response for it. So I'm like, okay, I gotta finish this in the next month and a half to line it up with Halloween. So I just finished up the production, and yeah, it was good. He definitely sparked the mood of the song, you know. So yeah,
is it where you are right now? Is that where you recorded this?
Yeah.
Just in a fucking room.
In a shed, yeah, a shed in the backyard.
Do you play drums in that?
No. That's something I was just listening to a webinar of Sync panelists, and they were saying that they wanted live drums in the songs that they license, and I'm still questioning, like, well, if you have, like, you know, if you have Abbey Road drummer, and they really do have real samples of live snares, like, can you, you know, can I just mimic it and make it, you know, as live as possible? I don't know. I still don't know what the difference is, but yes, in short, it was just made from the MIDI keyboard.
Well, I bet unless they're looking for something specifically electronic, they probably want some feel to it. And I think those things feel like this song, it feels like it's on a grid, not in a bad way, but it feels like it's, I mean, pop music now is on a grid.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's that loosey-goosey shit. I know you got a song like on in HBO, but remember that show True Detective?
Mm-hmm.
Remember they just had that chick playing electric guitar and singing?
Oh, yeah.
It was Vibe City, man. So her time was breathing, you know? She'd speed up when she needed to and slow down. So, yeah, I bet it's that kind of stuff. What was the show you had a song in?
I made something recently for a podcast, for a business coach in LA, but I didn't have anything on in a TV show, but I was watching a webinar, and then there was like six Sync panelists, and they were talking about like what makes them decide on a song. And that was one aspect. Some of them were saying like, well, if you have strings, like get a live string player. And so then my question always is like, well, if they sampled live players in the plugin, you know, how can you tell? Is it the extra noise? And like, I totally understand what you're saying. You
the
can
feel.
Fluctuate the
yeah.
tempo.
I mean, just the feel, you know,
you could tell where it's not just totally perfect, but you can also like you on MIDI, you can highlight it all and say, humanize it like 80% or like 60, but maybe it's just something that you can, and we all in our gut can tell, you know, which is unfortunate. Cause it's maybe that's just, you have to like get to that point where I set up drums and know how to mic drums. Cause I've never learned how to do that. Maybe it's laziness.
I got to ask you this. Okay. Did you ever think of going to like law school?
No.
At any point. Because you can argue a point. You're good at it.
Okay.
Because I'm sitting here going like, you're right. You're right. But I have like a song that I've recently recorded that hasn't been released yet. And we use some cool ass string samples. And then I did a record that I had an actual string quartet play on. And I can totally tell the difference. Yeah.
Okay.
And I bet that the samples that we have are way better recorded even. You know?
Yeah, like you mean the ridge, how they got the sample sounds?
Sure, sure.
Like they were better recorded. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the best people in the world playing on the best instruments, not some guy in South Austin in like his basement.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, and I right. don't mean that bad. I just mean, like, you know, they probably did that. Anyway, the song sounds great, and the drums are great. So you did that with Ringo from the Beatles?
Yeah.
I like how you referred to him as the guy from Abbey Road.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, it was the plug-in pack, or like the live drummer pack, is called Abbey Road, and I think that they recorded the samples at Abbey Road Studios. But yeah, okay. Maybe it was Ringo.
Who knows? So talk me through this. So you and Ben came up with a verse. Did you guys have a title? What did you come to the table with?
Mm-mm. I came to, before we met, I was thinking that I was going to bring the demos to the table. So I made like 4 or 5 demos that were happy sounding, 'cause I heard his other project, Katie Rain. And I was like, okay, we'll probably go this vibe. And then he came to the table with some dark theatric stuff. And then we ended up so that was one of the songs he played me with the verse, and then that chorus, and then that chorus popped to me. And so then I went back and I redid a verse that was in 3/4 time like that, and tried to be like, oh, this could be like I'm feeling good. That who originally did that? I don't know, but Michael Bublé redid it. But I was just trying to go with that whole vibe where it's like, oh, how can we do like a soulful, like, don't say, like, like it sounds like a soul choir or something. Yeah.
How'd you do that?
I just when we were together the first time jamming it, then he was just like playing it, and he's like, I'm just gonna record, just try to come up with any vocals. And I didn't use any vocals that we recorded that time, but we did both agree, like, oh yeah, save would be cool.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
Like, the offbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. So how you been doing under this quarantine, man?
I'm personally doing fine. I feel like nothing has changed too much, since I'm kind of already a reclusive person, so nothing changed too much, even though there were some circumstances where people I knew personally that were older passed away. And I just know that it is hard, and so I was affected through other people like that. Like, that's kind of tragedy. But in terms of the flow of everything, I wasn't playing, as we've talked about probably in the past, I was not playing live shows anyway, so I didn't lose out on any steam. And I'm assuming that you're the band that you were, like, Rocket, or the band that you were playing with,
yeah,
Skyrocket. Yeah. So did you have to stop? What's your situation?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, we stopped, and then we had done like a 5-camera shoot at 310 ACL. The show was sold out. It was fucking, it was a real badass thing. So
nice.
We released that, and then we've done some private live streams. Like, people have hired us, and then we'll go somewhere and do a live stream. And then we were gonna do one in this one really nice studio that does really awesome video stuff. It has great sound, but somebody there got COVID. And so then we were like, hey, you know, if we keep putting who knows how long this is gonna go on, we should kind of figure out how to cut out everyone we possibly can. So mm-hmm. our drummer set up a whole fucking, like, television studio in his living room with, like, everything's mic'd. And so we do a live stream every couple weeks like that. I've been doing solo live streams. You know, I work with the Austin Music Foundation. We're doing our artist development program. So yeah, it has taken a big bite, man. But not for you, because that wasn't how you subsisted.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, but that's good. That's good that you can still keep the streaming going. That's like, I feel like that's a really, that shows that you're like kind of in demand for them to pay for a stream. I guess if it's customized and they're okay, we like to hear this kind of stuff.
We did one on, I mean, I don't, have you done any live streaming at all?
I did two. I just recorded a live stream for Rock the Vote, and it's like, you can watch it if you take pictures of yourself voting.
Okay.
And then I did a ham thing.
You did one on ham. How did you do that?
It was, so I just, there's this little light here, and I I held the phone right here, and then there's actually somebody via Ham was giving like teaching how to basically, you know, you get a dongle and you get this other adapter. I don't remember what it's called, but then you get in and you use this cord, 1/4 inch to 8 inch, and then you get phone from your DAW or like your Pro Tool. So that's what I did, and it sounded pretty good. Everything worked.
It's pretty
so
awesome.
It's not high tech. Is that how are you guys doing it through DAW?
We're doing it. I think it's being run through Pro. I've never been in the control room. I show
where,
up, man. I set up.
Come into play.
Well, yeah, and I'm also checking shit, and I've got a whole keyboard rig. I got to put the songs in order, check my volumes. By the time I do that, it's already like, hey, let me get your volume, and then it's sound check time. But I think it's running through Pro Tools. And it's got like a general mix, and we have like one monitor that we all share that has vocals and acoustic guitars, and we use a really nice camera. But we started off doing it on StageIt, and that's a platform where you can sell tickets and people can tip you as it goes. But those dudes take 20%, bro. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, just to have the option to tip, basically, because you could do it on Instagram and then have like an app that allows you to tip.
So yeah, so over the last couple of months, we figured it out. YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, all kind of going through this one thing that we pay $40 a month for. Whatever, it's good, it's fun.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you do? What do you do to make money?
Good question. I had a marketing job at a real estate investment company for about a year, and I was just booking RV resorts and running ads. And, so that was working, but then, they hired a manager, and I felt like they wanted my soul. And so I had to walk out. And so from then on, I got like some grants, and, I was doing some random studies. There's a little bit of streams, a little bit of merch sales. I don't even know how I'm pulling it off. Oh, DoorDash, a little bit of that. Like I'm just like playing it, you know, very much month to month right now. So I don't even know what I'm going to do.
It's like a freestyle hustle out there. Dude, I'm the same way, man. Like
Dude, that's why I admire, like that's one reason why like I big time admire your lifestyle as a musician, because you were telling me the story about like you had doctors in the family, and they're you were maybe going to go that route, and then they said
they wanted me to go that route. I wasn't maybe going to go that route at all.
Okay. Yeah. They wanted you to go that route, and then you decided on the music route, and then you still made it work somehow. Like even if like, you know, it's not like you were not like the biggest stars.
Dude, you're doing
you
it too.
Somehow. Yeah, I do not know how, but like, yeah, I guess that takes a certain mentality to be like uncertain about all these income streams.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm doing the Skyrocket live streams. I do my own solo live streams. You know, some of the guys in Skyrocket and me, there was a place that had a lower budget. And so the four of us are doing a live stream. So there are these different kinds of levels of things, and people are still doing private events somehow. I don't know how, but they're doing them
via live stream.
Yeah, they're doing them like on Zoom and shit. No, they're doing, I mean we've been offered some gigs, but like we haven't taken the in-person gigs because there's a couple people in the band that, like, you know, I'm not super comfortable going to a place and like, unless it's outside and it's going to be cool and people are going to be mellow. But the people that want to go out and see live music at a place, they don't want to be careful, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway.
You're going to inevitably be close to a lot of people, like what they're going to want to come talk to you afterwards. And
right. So let me ask you this. Are you like working towards another EP, or what? Have you recorded some more songs to follow this one up, or what's going on over there?
Yeah. Let's see. I think the last year or 2 years, I was kind of like taking this, always reassessing why things are not working or like why things are working. And, I was kind of pivot, like focusing on getting the business, like everything organized to be like, okay, build a foundation. I feel like I've been building the foundation for a while to get everything rolling, like all the different components, as you know, as a musician. And so that was my focus. And I was still writing songs, but not as much. And now, yeah, I have demos in the bag, but nothing is ready, mixed and mastered, ready to be released right now. So there's ideas, and I'm going to start, you know, I'm talking to a music supervisor and starting to get into some non-exclusive, you know, catalogs, and trying to focus a little bit more on the writing aspect. So there's that. And this release was kind of like a tester of this idea of a choose your own track album, where it's like, I have this idea of, called the University Series, kind of like with a dark academia aesthetic and kind of revolving around my time going to college, and making it kind of a story thing, and releasing two options. Here's these two tracks. You choose which direction you want to go to first. So it's kind of like, it reminds you of like Goosebumps, like the old books where it's just choose your own scare.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So yeah, so I do want to do that. And I'm a little bit on the fence still, because there's not like, I'm like, oh, this could be so cool if there were more resources to back it and make it like a full fledged thing. Is it worth it to do, like, try to make it into something that's not everything that it could possibly be? So that's the idea. And I guess I'm just prepping, or like still adding songs to it.
When you say you're demoing songs, like, I mean, to me, it seems like maybe you record the thing, but whatever you lay down probably ends up on the tune, right?
Yeah.
Or do you start from scratch when you're like, okay, that's the demo. Okay, now I'm going to start over and do the record version.
Okay, so you mean like once like I demo something out, I'm probably going to end up using that idea that was demoed out, like for the
Do you go there, oh, I'll replace the bass and add another guitar track and sing it again, and maybe that'll be...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like everything, it's just, yeah, here's the idea, see if the groove is working, see, structure it out, get the progression, get the rough melody, get the lyrics, and then try to then punch everything up and replace all the parts.
Do you think you'll write with other people again? I mean, do you think you'll do more? I mean, are you going to write with Ben again? You think you're going to reach out to more people and write? Because it seems like Ben really tapped into your vibe. Like, this sounds like a new, like, yeah, you've taken a step, but this sounds like Demi to the Daredevil's new song.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I know. That's a good point, because if you find someone who can tap into the essence, like I told him that up front. I'm like, I just want to make sure that anything that's put out through this particular brand or band is like has a certain feel to it, and I don't want to go all over the map too much. And he was totally understanding of that. So I think that he definitely, yeah, he tapped into, he heard it, and then he kind of like, you know, channeled a similar essence. So yeah, I mean, I'd be down to co-write again with him. And I think there was a collaboration happening with these two other bands that are in the niche. And so, yeah, I feel like it would be dumb to not collaborate, you know, as much as it's hard to collaborate. And, but it's also like, without a huge budget to market yourself, it's smart to work with other artists who have their own following, and then you cross promote. So yeah,
it seems like there's it's funny, because it doesn't really happen in rock, you know what I mean? That happens in pop, man. It happens in hip hop like crazy. There's like sometimes six dudes on a track, you know what I mean?
Yeah
And even like WAP, that has a couple people on there, you know what I'm talking about?
No, what is it? Austin Band?
No, the song.
WAP. I haven't heard it.
Wet Ass Pussy.
Oh,
you haven't heard it?
Oh, is that Cardi B?
Yeah, and some okay. And somebody else. I think it's the lady that was on Saturday Night Live for the thing. Anyway, I think collaboration like that is real cool. Are there people that you know that are within your reach right now that you would collaborate with? Like, who do
you
think?
Yeah, there's two bands, this guy from Sweden named Koro, and this band from New York called Television Skies, and both of them are on the similar artists on Spotify. So that's a good, Spotify is a good way to connect with similar, you already know that people who listen to music listen to these other people. So yeah, they'll connect with those two. And I think that that might be it. That's like the, those are the two main ones. And Ben and I were talking about doing something else in December, maybe.
Did he sing or do anything on the track?
No, he didn't. I think that I'm not sure if he sings or if he maybe he does sing on some tracks. I take him to be like a melody guy. He seems to be like into the theory aspect of songwriting more so. And yeah,
right. Yeah, he's a really good songwriter, man.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your first collaborative effort with somebody on this project?
Yeah, well, outside of people who were like in Demi the Daredevil, yeah, it's like the first time that I'm like, you know, you collaborate with another name, I think, and where you come out and say like, okay, this is Ben's not part of Demi the Daredevil, but he co-wrote the song. So I used to do that with the old bandmates.
Did you have any apprehension with like bringing in just an outside writer straight up like that? Like,
yeah,
because your stuff is very specific and it's very you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was it's just it's vulnerable, I guess, to be in a room just to like, especially like to go in a room with him, and he's good at disarming and kind of being like, just let it out. I'm not going to judge. It just feels weird. Like if I'm running ideas, like I like to do it alone and just like be able to, you know, it's just kind of, it could be embarrassing, but you know, with him it was pretty comfortable. And yeah, that was my apprehension. I'm like, oh, I don't feel comfortable like letting myself, you know, explode.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand that. It takes a special kind of person. So was there anything that that was like surprisingly good about that experience that you didn't expect to get from an outside writer?
Something that I wasn't expected. Let me think. Well, I guess like, you know, I feel like for me personally, the creative part, if I can get like an initial idea, I usually don't have a problem with ideas. Like I feel like that's more of my strength, is to just be like, okay, I can somehow just keep generating. There just seems to be an abundance of ideas that we could always add to songs. So I guess the course was awesome. You know, that bass line was just like, yeah, it was unexpected, and that like I never would have thought to like make something that to me sounds like a jazzy 3/4 thing, but in a dark way. And I never would have thought to make that chord progression. And so that was awesome. And then also on the promotional side, he's also good at talking with people. So he was helping. I mean, he connected you.
He reached out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't like, there's just so much stuff to juggle that I would probably drop the ball on all these promotional efforts, but he definitely like, he got us into the top 20 on Submit Hub submissions, where it's like some intermediary submission platform, and he kept sending all these songs to everyone and got a lot of approval. So there's all these there was promotional things that I just never would have thought of, so he's good at that too.
He is very good at that. Why? But you can reach out to me, man. I thought we were friends.
I know. Well, it's not that.
You hate me.
I definitely,
that's what it is.
No, I very much love you. In my mind, like it's like one of those things that there's so many things to juggle. So you drop the ball and all these, you're just not aware of like, oh, I should be sending. I've been on Johnny's podcast, you know, maybe he would like to have me again. And I just didn't think about that. And also maybe if I did think about it, I would think, oh, well maybe Johnny's tired of me because I was already on there twice.
Like, not at all.
Why would he want me on again?
No, but no, I enjoy talking to you. You're an interesting cat. You write great, great songs. You make great records, man. Cool. I do. Thanks. I mean, when I listen to it and I think like, well, fuck, that should be so hard to pull off live. Like, how did you do that live stream? You said you ran through Pro Tools. Did you use tracks and sing along?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think in terms of the, like before COVID happened, I was going like the artist Mobley. I met him and was trying to pick his brain on how he does it. One man band, tried doing that. I did that was with about probably 10 or 15 gigs. it didn't work as well because it's just not so R&B. Like the beats, like I have to have a live drummer, I feel like, to make the songs work more so for this, because it's like more raw or like punk oriented or something. So I was doing that. I tried that for a little bit. Then I was hiring a live drummer. It was me and on the keys, and then a drummer, and then backtracks. So I guess I've ran backtracks for about 3 years. And then in terms of the live stream, that was just all, that was just acoustic. Because it's somewhere in between where it's like, if I use backtracks, I feel like I need to have a drummer to make it, to really bump it up and make it the energetic experience that it's supposed to be. And, you know, with this, I'm like, I just couldn't, you know, just sit down like real calmly while like all the instrumentation is going that's meant to be just like in your face more. Yeah. So I just did acoustic.
Huh. How what was the feedback like for you on those shows? Like the shows that you did,
the one man,
yeah,
one man band. It was sometimes like it's just, you know, I don't know if it's my mood of the day that particular day, but sometimes, you know, people were just like, dude, this is like, they really got it, and like, this is awesome, I'll remember your name. And then some other times, like maybe when I was first starting, or maybe, you know, the very last one of that run, people were just like, dude, I feel bad for you, like you need to get a drummer, you know, you were, and it was maybe because my laptop collapsed one of the shows, or maybe like, you know, I'm like, you know, not like not as fluid as Mobley, kind of just like he's done it so many times where you can make it seem like this is effortless, but it's really hard, but you have to make it look like it's effortless. So I think I probably was just like, you know, this is difficult to try to, like, you know, one song do, because I was playing drums standing up, and you know, and I didn't have a cordless mic, so I was, you know, maybe getting it wrapped around in weird ways that made it look like, oh, this,
yeah,
is,
see,
this guy,
that's the stuff that makes me not want to go in that route, because I think it's cool, I just can't. And also, like, I like to be off the grid. If I want to jam, I want to jam. I don't want some computer telling me what I'm doing. But that's part of the whole, yeah, reason why I play music, is because there's a whole, just like, you know, I don't know exactly why you do it. It turned out to be something that's very therapeutic for me and very cathartic to make this music and write this music and perform it and get stuff off of my chest. But also, there's a rebelliousness in me where I wanted to do something where no one could tell me what to do. And on the grid, especially live, it's like, you're not going to tell me what to do now, man, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah. Like even the computer plays that role of the,
yeah,
the, yeah, authoritarian. Yeah.
But also, it also has, I mean, I've seen people, and the thing is also, like, you know, you're not in a bazillion-dollar production situation. You know, I don't know where did you play? Like, you can't do, we're inside at fucking Mohawk. You know,
yeah,
fuck,
no,
man.
Yeah, and even Mohawk and Stubbs are like the high-end speakers. That was always the challenge. I was always asking Mobley, like, how are you getting your bass to pop up so much? And I know some artists had two laptops, and one of them had just the bass separate, so they had control over bumping the bass separate from the wave,
right,
file. But I never did that. It was always using Ableton Live and just having the backtrack as one wave, and so there was less control. And yeah, like those, it was always like, I would say like 70% of the time, it always did not do justice. Like, and there was those 30% of shows with a really good sub system and a speaker system that, like, it sounded like a live band. But other than that, it sounded like, oh, it's, you can kind of hear the tracks, and it's like, you can really hear your piano and you can really hear the live drums. So it sounded like a garage band, like a lot of the time.
Right.
Like, yeah, like a White Stripes kind of thing.
I know, you know, and I've seen people in those rooms, and nothing against those sound people, but I just feel like it's a different animal. You know, I feel like these guys need to be retrained, excuse me, to work on that stuff and not just a rock band or,
yeah,
you know, a live band. It's difficult. I mean, do you think that eventually you'll broaden out to like a group? Or,
yeah, I hope so. Yeah, that's definitely the, like, it was always like, you know, let's see, I was trying to get a group together a lot of the time. Like, it's hard to get bandmates who are dedicated to your standards, that are like, you're really going to be dedicated and really focused. And so it was always like me saying, like, well, I have to kind of, you know, I have to do most of the work, and I have to like play with bandmates who are part of this thing. and you know, it's all going to be the same piece of the pie that everyone's sharing, because we need a live band. And then it started just moving away from that, being like, well, I want to be more in control, and if I'm the only one that's giving 110%, you know, let's just use the backtracks and computers as much as possible. Then it's hard to pay out people per show. Like if you had a bass player, then a drummer, then
go ahead.
That's it. Yeah. So it was hiring people out. So I could definitely do that with a drummer, but I couldn't do that with like a guitarist and a bass player and a synth player.
Right. So, So off the subject of stressful music things, what else have you been doing under quarantine? I mean, have you, what have you been doing?
Let's see. So I tried to, after I quit the job, then I started trying to get into my own routine as like an entrepreneur, where you're just like, you're having to reflect on what works and you're having to schedule things out according to your own agenda. And so I was just like, you know, planning on Mondays and connecting with the fans on Tuesdays and thinking about the brand, and then having a street team meeting on Wednesdays and doing creative stuff on, you know, songwriting on Wednesdays, Thursdays, trying to network and submit songs for sync licensing. And so it's really just like, I've been trying to get into a groove of that kind of, you know, my own schedule, I guess. So, it's really those things, I guess. And I'm trying to a lot more time to the creative component, 'cause I realize, you know, it's kind of makes me think like there, this is maybe somewhat tangential, but you the one panel that you spoke at Empire Control Room about a couple of years ago, we were talking about how a band nowadays does it DIY. Like it's like more of the norm. Like you have to prove yourself before any industry people want to work for you more so. It's not like Bruce Springsteen where people are going to take a gamble and you fail the first three albums. And so you're saying, how do you do that? And the way you were asking one of the panelists, you're just saying like, how does, you know, like it's not possible basically. Like you don't, like how can Joe Schmo go and have a day job and then like take care of like a 40-man job, you know? So,
well, then also expect to be fucking Paul McCartney, you know?
Yeah,
or Lady Gaga,
you mean,
or something.
How do you do all that?
I mean, well, on top
like,
of all that
DIY
stuff, on top
expect
of
to do that,
on top of DIY, on top of possibly having a day job, a way to fucking make money or everything, then on the very top of that, you also have to be like the most badass, like, you know, performer to make people want to see you. It takes a lot, man.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, exactly. Like it, and that, I'm going back to that, like the idea of like, you know, you can't lose the magic or else you're not in business anymore. There's really no point of doing it if you lose that.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you the kind of person that can produce other people? Like, have you ever done that? Have you ever brought somebody in who doesn't have a band and create a record for them?
See, I would love to. I mean, I do not mind doing that. And I love to just be behind Pro Tools. So I'm doing that right now with a fan who reached out, and I'm producing his second song for him. But I'm not doing that like a full-time thing. But yeah, that's something that I should probably talk to Enar and see if he'll. But I don't know what those things like. It just seems like if you talk to a producer, they're like, well, you know, I don't have any work for you. So I would, you know, definitely be interested in that. That's just yet another project to like be like, how do you start a business of producing people? But maybe it's,
well,
you know, not as hard as
I
think.
I mean, I got into it throughout my whole career. I've done it off and on. And I thought at some point I'd really want to pursue it. And then I made this record like your kind of record where you play everything on it. And it's just basically like, this is what I can do when I'm left alone. And so off of that record, I'm not joking, like 2 years, like overlapping albums. Like at the end of an album and the beginning of one of the albums, I'd be going to one place until like 7 at night and then hauling ass to another place and finishing up in the middle of the night. So, but it was because people heard that record and knew it was just me. And they were like, oh, well, we want you to do that with us. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I mean, I think that's a
matter of it,
like more musicians
getting the ball rolling.
Hearing your record. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's a good way to do it.
And it, that, yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up. That's something I definitely, yeah, I probably should think a little bit more about. Well, I know, and I know you had, but you don't still do that because you didn't necessarily, it wasn't your favorite cup of tea.
Well, the thing was that I realized that when you want to make a living as a producer, the people with the money, most of the time, in my case, were not the people whose records I wanted to be making. And so I thought, like, how can I get in this world of making really cool records if I'm making these records that some of them I wasn't too stoked about? You know what I mean? And I didn't think, and I took them because they were work and I needed to be doing it and I needed to have more records under my belt. And you know, I still, like, there was a band, Fragile Rock. Did you ever hear them? The puppet band? Okay, well, that's
We asked them to play at Mohawk with us.
Yeah, those guys, I sat down and I went to a rehearsal because I was like, I'll produce your record. Like 100%, I would totally, because I understood what they were doing. And I thought it was just so fucking weird that that's something I could totally be a part of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I felt like I really understood what they were going for.
And did you do it? Nope. You sat in their rehearsal room and you were...
I did
it
sit
was
in
just
their
like
rehearsal
a, try
room.
It out.
I think I sat in their rehearsal room and I think some of my initial suggestions, they weren't like musicians. They're like artists and actors and shit that decided to have a band.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
That's it. Yeah,
and
exactly.
So
exactly.
I was coming at them as like, let me play your thing. And they'd be like, whoa. So... I understood that, and then they went a different way. And, you know, I still think the best for them. But, like, as far as that, I mean, I don't know. It seems like what you do and what you're able to do just even on your own with nobody's help, you can really – I mean, it seems like it's something you could do or people would come to you and be like, oh, yeah, I want you to do that to me. So
– yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Maybe the next time we talk, that would be great to pick your brain on, like, how do you do it? How does one go about doing that besides just throwing up a post?
Yeah.
Maybe it is just word of mouth for social media now.
Yeah. So as far as this Billboard hashtag vote, are there instructions to do that on your website, or do you want to explain to people how to do that?
I should know this. I know that I'll post about it. I'll post about exactly where you need to submit your picture to, but I know you have to take a picture of you signing the ballot, or you have to take a picture of you, you know, some kind of proof that you did vote. I don't know if that's like how
I thought
we,
you weren't
we
allowed
probably
to
can
take
maybe...
pictures of that stuff.
Somehow there has to be a picture of like a selfie. That's all I know is that they're saying if you got to take a selfie at the voting place. But if we're doing mail-in ballots, I don't know. I'll post about it. If you follow my page, then you'll be able to see. I'll post about how exactly you submit to it. But basically, you show some kind of proof that you did vote, and then by that, then they give you a little access pass to watch a particular live stream, maybe all of them.
Okay.
All the bands that are playing.
And so you'll be on there. You know who else is on there?
Young the Giant, Grandson, Jukebox the Ghost. I know of them. That's okay. About it.
During quarantine, did you learn how to make bread?
No. Why? Okay. Why is that? Like
A lot of people were making bread. I don't know. I never made bread. I did do a lot of crazy cooking. Like April, May, and June were like crazy chef months for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips? Do you just like look at what you have in the fridge and Google those things and put it together, or you plan ahead before you grocery store?
Check it out. A few years ago, my cousin Jennifer, who's a teacher, hipped me to Pinterest, and then I'm in that Skyrocket band, so I know all these moms, right? So I followed them on Pinterest, and they have badass shit, man. And you can basically look up anything you want on there. So, yeah, I'll either see something that looks super cool or think of something and then look up the recipe, go get the stuff, or see what I have. Yeah.
That's awesome. I never thought about Pinterest for cooking. That's good.
That's what I use it for. That's the only thing I use it for.
Yeah, I cook.
You do?
Okay.
Yeah.
I use it, and I use it for branding ideas, but I never thought about cooking. I think my wife uses it for home decor.
How long?
How long
have you been married?
About 3 years.
It's good. Congratulations. Is she?
Thanks. Yes.
Is she also under the? Has she been home too?
She's been home. She works for Aetna. She's a counselor, so she's counseling people over the phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird, like being a coworker with my wife. Like if I'm working from home and then we're just like in the kitchen, like hanging by the water cooler, chit chatting.
That's nice, man. Yeah. Well, cool, man. People can find this single wherever it is people find singles. Paranoia on Main Street. Great song. Another great production. People can also find your other EPs, Secret Schizoid and Magic and Accidents. Great albums, great EPs on their own as well. Looking forward to hearing more music and stuff. And
thanks, man.
And go to DemiTheDaredevil.com for all your stuff. I guess the videos are on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What else is going? Anything I'm missing?
No. That's it. That's all. Let's do. Under the sun. Anything else with you? Do you want to share anything with your listeners?
No, I share too much. I talk too much and share too much. But dude, it's been great talking to you, Jeff.
You too.
Stay healthy, and I look forward to hearing more music, man. Please let me know. Don't make Ben reach out to me. Reach out to me yourself.
I will do that next time.
I'm telling
you
now, or I'll get my feelings hurt. That's the worst thing you can imagine. But
dude,
yeah, man.
Yeah, well, now. You just open up a can of worms. I'll be at your doorstep tomorrow. Do you want coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Please do. Tell Ben I said hi, and everyone check out Paranoia on Main Street from Demi the Daredevil. Have a great day,
Cool,
dude.
Man. Thanks for having me on. You
Good
too.
Talking to you. Bye. Man, now that I'm really getting old, my guilt skills are getting pretty badass. Wouldn't you say? I made him feel pretty bad, I think, there at the end. Hey, don't do that or else I'll cry. Gang, that's my friend Jeff Azar, Demi the Daredevil. Find him at DemiTheDaredevil.com. His brand new single, Paranoia on Main Street, is out now. What a great song that is, man. Check it out. Written with my friend Ben Vazria, great songwriter guy. All right? Get out there and check him out at DemiTheDaredevil.com. Check out Paranoia on Main Street. Jeff Azar, thank you for doing the show. You're a fantastic dude. I mean it, baby. And hey, don't forget when you're out there checking out DemiTheDaredevil.com, you can find How Did I Get Here wherever it is you stream and download your jams, even if it is like Spotify. If you're listening to Paranoia on Main Street on Spotify, jump on over to How Did I Get Here and follow us. New shows, 3 days a week. Well, actually, two new shows a week and one classic show per week. That's how we roll these days. A From the Vault episode, all right? Once again, Paranoia on Main Street, great song, available right now. Go to DemiTheDaredevil.com or hang out and listen to the rest of it on here. And have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
Says, and I'm paranoid that you'll see me for what I am. Underneath I feel like there's a set of invisible eyes. Always staring, always watching. Say, I'm all alone. Just keep to myself now. They're always watching me.